CliffCentral.com. Good day. Hello, my name is Ben Karpinski, and this is the Gareth Cliff Show. With me is Sia Sangweni. Hello, Sia.
Good day and good morning.
It is the 8th.
Perhaps.
The 8th of the 8th of 2018.
Are you one of those people?
No, I just think it's probably, it's a good idea to announce where the show is.
Okay.
You know, if you listen to us on loop, it's like, what day is it?
Oh, well, got you. Boom. I thought like you were pulling the whole 8 card because you believe in the numbers and there's a deeper meaning.
Wow, what's so special about 8? I don't normally subscribe to this mumbo jumbo, but...
This mumbo jumbo. Never mind, I have it's my like, answer. You don't believe in
that. I met him on the 7th month and it was the 14th day and it was... how did he cheat on me after that? It was all aligned.
Okay, well, I believe in it to a certain extent. Like my number's 3. I just feel like there are a lot of 3s in my life.
Okay.
But
so I'm not making light of anything that you like. I mean, yes. Everyone's got their quirks in life. We all have them.
But people believe when you look at numbers and deeper meanings, like 7 is the number of perfection. 8 is supposedly the number of new beginnings. If you look at like the Christian Bible, like some people were looking at the blood moon a few weeks ago and they're like, it means something. It's going to be a new chapter or something along the lines of, I don't know.
I tell you what does mean something. Getting to work. This is all one big laugh. Just get to work in life. Everything else will sort itself out.
Okay.
Today, as we all get to work, because the cool thing about getting work to today, getting to work today is that tomorrow is a public holiday. Yay for the women's.
What does that mean, Ben?
Why am I the only one clapping?
Because I need
very
to.
Awkward.
No, I need to understand what you exactly mean by.
Well, it's Women's Day tomorrow, so yeah.
Okay.
And public holidays mostly are a waste of time because, like, it's not very good for society. It's not very productive for the economy. But we have public holidays, so rather than just meaning it's like, I think in England they just call everything a bank holiday, which I always find so bizarre.
Oh.
It's just one of those things, and then English people come here and then they try to use that. In that jargon, which is also even weirder. But yeah, like it is Women's Day. So yesterday we had this really, really empowering interview. And I said it was empowering because it was cool. It wasn't just like, hi, we've made a movie. So Irfan and Ilse, if you go onto clipcentral.com, you can catch that. They came in and spoke about their new movie, Storm Up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that means they're on a stream.
And look at you. Are you ready for your cameo in like Sylvain Delon?
Yeah, bring it.
Now that Egoli. Blik van Goud is off the air.
I told you my speaking role in Egoli those years back was in Afrikaans. I still don't really know how I butchered. I mean, I butcher things in English in this show. You imagine 15 years ago in Afrikaans for how bad it was.
You have so much throwback footage. I hope somewhere on planet Earth you still have a little video or photo of you on Egoli.
I don't know, but see, the difficult thing was is that it was a time when you weren't capturing things. I mean, back then, phones didn't even have cameras.
Oh, you just used phone to play Snake.
Yes, and there send, I was in the waiting room waiting for my big line playing Snake. I don't think I had a camera phone back then.
Do you still remember your line?
It was about getting papers for some dumbass. Oh, man, I know if I try to say it now, I'd screw it up.
Ben, that could have been your moment.
No, it was never my moment.
Okay, never mind then.
I think it was my moment to make like $600.
You were happy with that and you called it a day.
Dolo, can you remember when you first had a phone a camera on your phone? It was what, like 2004, 5, 6?
No, it was later than that, actually. I think 2008. It was a Samsung D500, something like that.
Those were the business. That little thin Samsung and you slide it up. Oh, yes.
But I remember when like you say, oh, he's got that camera, the 2-megapixel camera. And that was like the shit.
It was everything.
It was so bizarre. But just think, prior to that, we generally just looked at everything. Now we capture everything. You would go to like concerts and people would have their hands in the air, not their phones in the air.
Yeah.
So yeah, unfortunately, we all talk about the fact that we're all completely obsessed with our smartphones, so be it. But there was a time where we didn't have this and we couldn't capture any of it. So no, I don't have a selfie about to go on hashtag I'm on Egoli today. None of that. Hey, social media just made everything, like, a lot of my youth is in this abyss of memories.
No VHS tapes.
Yeah, a few VHS tapes. If you want to get in touch with the show today, then of course you're most welcome to 0797482090. You can just message us, and then I might read it. Uh-huh. That's how the process goes. Is there going to be Gareth on the ship today?
Gareth on the ship or Gareth
we
on the show?
So. We hope so.
We'll be chatting to Gareth hopefully in a little bit. We have some cool announcements.
Yeah,
to make.
I've been teasing the audience all week. You got to give me more than we might chat to him in a little bit.
We also are in the same boat. Excuse the pun in this one. So
I'm not going to excuse the pun. Is he yes or no?
I don't know, Ben. I do not know.
It's 2018. He's not searching for dinosaur eggs in Borneo. I mean, the guy...
He could have a drink in his hand as you speak, or he could be passed out. We don't know.
If you are wondering, and you don't think I care, then I just told you I'm trying to get Gareth in the show. That's what I'm working with. So don't try to judge me and think I'm just snubbing the guy.
But on a better, lighter note, we have great announcements to make on the show today.
We do.
I'm just saying, it's a cool concept.
Whose birthday is it?
Ben, sometimes it's not about birthdays. Okay, sometimes
I get excited, okay? Carry on.
Sometimes it's also about if you've missed out on cashing in on 140 million rand in the Powerball, perhaps there's another way to score yourself tons of cash. We'll announce that in a couple of minutes. Yeah. And then we also have Wonderbroom stopping by a little after 7.
So yesterday when the show started...
Jeez, you just clapped the air. Is that how excited you are for Wonderbroom?
Yesterday when we started the show and I was literally sitting here by myself looking around, I thought Wonderbroom were coming in yesterday. Hence, I got all excited about it being like more of a musical show. But today is actually that show. See, are they going to bring instruments?
Sito and Martin are coming in. They're actually here to talk about their very, very cool nod that they've just had. And they are supporting Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses are coming into the country in November. And they'll be supporting them.
It's a big deal. I know Guns N' Roses.
It's a massive deal.
I know Axl Rose looks like a drop pizza nowadays, and they really are past their prime, but it's still Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
And like growing up, I'm sure these guys were like Guns N' Roses before, like most people.
Jeez.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses tick the box for you in a metal rock sense?
I won't lie and say I've listened to them. No, okay. But I do know of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've also got another metal expert coming in. His name is Gordon Laws. But from what we hear, he's running late or he's, I don't know.
This is Gord, though. His 6 a.m. is give or take 6:20.
Right. Of course. Yeah, we're not here tomorrow. And
do you have any plans for the long weekend?
Yeah.
Because we're taking
It's a long weekend.
Wait, what day is it? Today is Wednesday. We're taking Thursday and Friday off.
Yeah,
yes.
Like Thursday and Friday. So I'm having beers and burritos tonight with some people I haven't seen in a very long time.
Oh.
Yeah, just take it at minimal expectations and obviously you'll have a really great time. And then post that. A friend of mine's got this business. She's such an incredible, incredibly dynamic person. She makes things and she employs so many different people. She's got these workshops and she creates things out of recycled products. Yesterday in our Lifestyle Home Garden feature with Robin, we spoke about minimizing our waste and how we can make things. And like I said in closing of the interview yesterday, it's like if we all just do little things here and there, suddenly we make like big differences.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got this... she's creating these like these men's accessory kind of apparel things, but she's doing it with denim and old recycled billboards.
Billboards?
So you think of a billboard, right? Once it goes up there, I don't know. I saw a billboard the other day. It was for a phone. Mm-hmm. What happens when that phone is no longer the new thing? Or after the run of however many months they have that campaign, what do they do with that billboard?
Now, pardon my ignorance, what is that material?
It's like a...
Is it canvas? Is it more paper?
Like a very kind of strong, thick... I'm not very good with my names, but it's a plastic of some sort.
Okay.
It's like a rubbery kind of plastic. Think about it. It's got to be outside and it's got to sustain wind, dust, rain, ill-sighted birds, whatever. It's got to, you know, hold on to its own there.
Okay.
So she takes stuff like that, which has no more purpose or use in life, and then she retreads and repurposes into the kind of thing. So she's given me a whole bunch of the stuff to try photograph and try to look nice for our website, you know, because I'm trying to, you know, broaden my revenue streams and abilities in life mm-hmm. and potential.
How long has she been doing this for?
In a variety of projects for a variety of years now.
Do you know what I love, though? Really, as we were reiterating with Robin yesterday, all of these things aren't just buzzwords anymore. It's not being hipster or not. Everyone is so aware yeah. of the fact that we need to do better and we need to treat the planet better. I was emceeing an event last night, and it was in this office park, and there were all of these corporate people, and the event was incredible, but there was an open bar, and we all went to the nice. Bar as the event wrapped up. And they were serving drinks with plastic straws, and everyone like looked at each other like, what? Who are you guys doing this? And I love that, you know, it's not now just yeah. I want to hashtag it just to seem cool, but so many people are aware of even the smallest things, like actually plastic straws aren't cool. You guys need to change it up. So yeah.
And then Elon Musk will then say something else on top of that, and everyone's even more aware. Okay. Hi, Gord.
How's it, guys?
Sporting quite a beard this morning.
Yeah, I know. I'm overdue for a shave, and I'm like, I hate nothing more than being overdue for a shave because my face itches like mad.
What do you mean overdue for a shave? Does someone take you into a room and shave you?
No, I mean overdue to shave myself. I just I had a rather big weekend because it was my birthday weekend.
Yeah, we noticed. Nice.
I just don't recover the way that I used to, man.
None of us do.
No, but you would expect there to be a gradual progression as you get older, like incrementally you get, like if you looked at it on a graph, you'd expect it to be kind of on a semi-predictable slope. This is like falling off the cliff like Wile E. Coyote does.
It is.
Oh, jeez.
With cartoon sound whistle as you
yeah,
fall.
Yeah, I lost like probably 3% recovery capability every year from 25 to 32, and another 20% a year after that.
But it's like compound interest. It's like you're losing on losing.
I would have been able to do the jaw that I did this weekend on a weekday and had a difficult morning and then just carried on with work after lunch the next day.
But when you say difficult morning, waking up would have been tough. The moment yeah. you go, you'd be fine.
And then we had this lovely lady back in the FHM day 1,000 years ago, this lovely lady that ran the canteen called Kathy, and she was just the best. It was like having a mom to cook for you every day. I'd ask Kathy to like lean on the cheese and the bacon on my toasted sandwich. You know, I'd go down for see Kathy, have a toasted cheese and bacon, maybe an extra cup of coffee, and by like 11 o'clock you'd be saying to your friends at work like, yo, that was a bad hangover, man. I'm so glad that's done with. Wow, that was hard.
I can just imagine Kathy coming in and saying, right, Gord, was it 8 or 12 Jager bombs last night? I need to know on the cheese
yeah, I need to know on the cheese scale. Yeah, so it's just like now it's a case of like every time I have a big jaw that's like either more than one day or especially large, I because this was like a Friday night jaw and then like Saturday I decided to lightly re-party, but it ended up being a second jaw. And I'm like only sort of as of today, like last night, starting to not feel like I'm actually hungover. Anyway, it was a good weekend. So
guys, how are we going to jaw in our 50s?
I just don't think we are.
But like, so then what are we going to do? Because life is also, when you get older, it gets more boring because you have less of an active role in society because you're an old git.
Mm. Yeah.
So what are we going to do? Like, we can't take drugs because drug hangover is even worse when you're
older.
Yeah, I
know.
What are we going to do? We're going to read more?
And the terrible,
we're going to shout at kids to get off our lawn?
The terrible thing, the kind of, they say youth is wasted on the young, and that feels like a very old person thing to say. But like now, you have the resources to jaw the way that you would have liked to. I remember when like trying to get the money together for like booze to drink was like a mission. That's not to say now I can like commission yachts and go party on them whenever I want, but like I can buy my friends a round of drinks if I feel like it.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, cool, well, I can't anyway. So that's why I need to shave, because I literally yesterday and Monday just felt like not up for anything other than the bare essentials you have to do to progress through a living day.
So what did you do for your birthday?
Went to Hell's Kitchen with a bunch of my friends. Oof. And it's like, you know, it's a bit like, and it's not to say that I'm like grumpy or miff about it, but it's a little bit like you present, it's your birthday thing. A lot of your mates have come out, maybe more than would normally come out. And they're all excited to see you. And everybody kind of feels like they have an obligation to make you have fun. But what happens is you spend the whole night like having to spend little bits of time with each person or group of people, mm-hmm. and they all want to buy you at least one drink that you otherwise wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And it's just like you get badly, badly punished. But like, it was really good funny. I'm not bitching because my mates came and partied with me. I'm just saying, like, thank God birthdays only once a year. Can we celebrate decade birthdays now only?
That's smart.
That's a very older person
thing to say.
So, yeah.
So anyway, that's why
I'm warning there.
I'm sporting like a 7 or 8 o'clock shadow. And whenever I don't shave, like, because I shave about 3 times a week. I hate shaving. And whenever I don't shave for more than like 2 days longer than I should, I want to tear the skin on my face off.
See, that is the only reason I really admire hipsters, because they must have gone through one hell of a pain barrier to get to that barista coif on their chins.
Yeah, but once your beard goes from stubble that's too long to an actual beard, it stops being itchy. It's just that phase of like...
Yeah, but still gorgeous, like a month at least.
I don't know. I tried to grow a beard once and I abandoned it when I realized that I grow only Abe Lincoln facial hair.
Yeah.
It grows in an honest Abe. It grows like around my chin and my neck and not really on my face.
Sweet little chin strap.
Yeah.
So have a look at the messages here. David says, "Hey, Gordon Nolo, what do you guys think of the new Behemoth single?
God equals dog. Is that the one we're talking about? I saw like three."
Nola's not too clued up about this.
If we're thinking about the correct one, because I don't really know my Scandinavian black metal that well. I saw the video and I thought it was very artistic. I don't get down with the vocals. I struggle with the vocals. I might not even be thinking of the right band.
Is it vocals or is it just shouting in Swedish?
No, it's vocals. It's in English.
Oh.
I mean, it takes, there's rhythm to it.
A Behemoth is well known as Rammstein?
In their own genre, yes.
No, Rammstein is from Germany. What? They sing Du hast.
Yeah, but I've always been all more...
All right, settle down and say they were Scandinavian.
I've always been more into thrash metal, you know, actual heavy metal, melodic metal and hardcore. I'm not like so much a black metal and death metal guy.
And in we have an expert, Nolo, who is the death and black metal girl.
No.
Microphone just turned off again.
There she is.
My current obsession at the moment is Ghost, latest album.
As well, I love Ghost.
Yeah.
This is so amazing. The three metal fans that we've got out there going, yes, they're doing it. They're talking about our stuff.
Ghost is metal, but only just. What they've done is really brilliant because they write really... No, it's like hard rock... It's like it could almost all of it could quite easily be played on regular radio stations. It's just super satanic. They're like the Swedish band that write the catchy, sensible, extremely infectious Swedish style of rock pop that like everybody just has to love, except they're singing about the glory of the devil. It's cool.
Oh.
Yeah. And they have a really like camp stage show it's great.
Decent take. Tabo says, "Ben, I want to apologize for my behavior yesterday. You're not a cat killer. It was just a dumb joke. I'm a really nice guy, you know. And I'm a fan. I really like your YouTube channel. Also, you always read my messages, unlike Gareth. Generally, have a nice long weekend. Tabo, I appreciate that. I move on from these things. I'm sure you are a nice guy.
But I'm sure that was sitting on Tabo's spirit since yesterday. Had to say something.
But guys, everything we do here is mostly a dumb joke. If you take things personally, it's not really the place to be.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Michelle says, "I'm turning 45 next week. I'm hoping that I'll last a bit longer than you two on the jawl."
Hey, I successfully jawled for 2 days. It was a big jawl. It's not like I had one cup of wine and that was me man down for like 3 days. I jawled really hard on Friday and I marathon jawled on Saturday after dragging myself up. It's just like I then realized on Sunday and Monday and to a lesser extent on Tuesday why I mustn't do that again for a few months at least.
Yeah. So, do you still have those squatters in your house? Sorry, housemates, guests?
Yes, I do.
Sorry, Gord, maybe you didn't hear, but Sia has people who are camping out at his house.
That are invited or not?
Well, this
invited.
One person took 2 weeks off leave just to go live at Sia.
But you arranged this beforehand or...
All to my understanding and knowledge, my friends and I, we went out on Friday night and there was a whole bunch of us and we really had a great, great time. And, you know, gradually when you are the host, you understand that, okay, you will have pre-drinks at your place and we'll go out and people will come back to your place afterwards. And, you know, we can sleep a bit and we wake up in the morning and we'll be hungover and we'll have a bit of breakfast. And you think at least by 1 p.m. on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, everyone will start dwindling away.
Okay, so it was a sleepover.
Yeah.
It was scheduled as a sleepover.
Sort of, kind of, yeah, let's go with that. And a couple of people did leave, and slowly but surely some left on Sunday, but we now are down to two who are still around.
Do you need one of us to come in there and actually just be like, be the hard person and say, sorry, what the hell are you doing?
I would...
What, seriously, you're living in this guy's house.
Let's see.
How long has it been now since the weekend?
Yeah, since Friday. But my plan is I'm leaving this weekend. So that's kind of my excuse. Like, hey, guys, I need to...
Give them an extra day like you've already done.
God, I can't give...
Enough. No, I mean, give them the extra day that you already have. And then after that, be like, cool, guys, listen, you guys must go at some point today.
Like, God.
But no, you don't have to be like, get the fuck out, what are you doing?
But why can't you? Do you just owe people like, money?
No, you see, that's my problem. I don't know why I just find confrontation awkward.
Not I'm even just confrontation. Just so, listen, guys, just so you know, you guys are going to be out... By this evening, I've got other people coming round. I need the whole house. Plus, I've got to clean up first. So,
see, but this is the exact problem with expropriation without compensation. Every dickhead thinks they can now take everyone else's house. Starting with you, sir.
Okay,
we all think it's a joke, and then someone takes these words and they run with it. And this is the problem with politicians.
Do you think they intend to stay long, or it's just like they've just overstayed and they're at the end of the overstaying process? Or do you think this is the beginning of a long-term staying process?
Look, I enjoy having them around, but I also enjoy my own space and my own place.
Yeah, but God, these idiots aren't even buying groceries or anything like that. They're just squatting.
But you obviously...
Call it what it is, yeah? Well, let's call it what it is.
They did cook me dinner yesterday.
Okay, of your own food. Of your own food.
Of your own food, okay. So but, still squatting.
And also, presumably, they don't listen to the show because you've obviously discussed
the
this
one does...
Oh, so they're going to get this message eventually.
Yesterday.
Well,
so.
If you are listening, I mean, this is no laughing matter. You guys are friends. You're pushing the boundaries. You're taking advantage of Sia. He's a lovely person, and you are now taking advantage of the guy.
At least ask.
At least ask. At least contribute. At least go out there and do something. Like buy him a couch or something. I mean, you're pulling the piss.
Do you know what I should
If you don't like this, you can come down and we can talk about this person to person on the show.
I should just go home and play this podcast now. Guys, do you want to hear the show this morning? Yeah. It is great.
Aside from, you know, overstaying and digging, hanging out with you and maybe just like not really playing the politeness card properly. Do you think that there are like intentions behind this? Do you think they actually want to stay long and this, like they've planned this and they've got like an agenda, or do you think they're just not getting the point and
don't know.
Are they buying booze?
Well, we have a lot of booze left over from the weekend.
Did they buy it for you?
We all contributed, so...
These people don't sound like they're worth your time, Sia. No, look, Sia, it burns me to my absolute core and my middle area that people can be so parasitic. That's all it comes down to. It's common decency, which I know is rarer than a volleyball-playing unicorn right now at common decency. But how hard?
I still think at this stage, and again, like I've only just coming into the story, but at this stage, I still think it might just be like, you know, just, hey, like, it's the long weekend, pre-weekend. I don't think it's like, there's a chance it's not let's deliberately stay and see how long we can get away with. It might just be, hey, we're not thinking politely here.
Which means they're simple people. But I mean, are you doing their washing? Because how long has it been? Are they the same underwear?
Oh, no, I don't know.
So obviously they've now packed for 5 days or...
That's
seven
a
weeks.
Really good point.
And if they haven't,
so I should rummage through their bags.
You should see how long they're packed for. Ben's
so
on
did they rocked up there with like a trailer of clothes, or they're sitting on your couch in the same underwear for 7 days. Either way, these people did not have a lot going for themselves. Anyway,
also, what about
gotta
work?
Move on.
Yeah, okay, let's move on. But what about work? What do they do for a living, and are they on leave?
The one took 2 weeks off
enough,
work.
Enough.
That's
enough,
the thing.
Please, enough. These people.
It is burning Ben up.
So let's talk about something Ben likes.
Can we make the announcement now,
yes,
please?
Yes, let's make the announcement rather.
Yes.
Let's go with that. You want to make it?
You can. You have all of the honor. Go ahead.
Okay.
Because I think this is really, really exciting.
Deep breath. Compose yourself. You. Not the people staying at Sia's house. I don't have time for them. Everyone else except for them. You can win an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand with Jeez. Alpha Code. Yes, entrepreneurs. They have a bit of a tough life and it's hard work, but here is a leg up of note with Alpha Code. Alpha Code is inviting applications for a prestigious Alpha Code incubate program that seeks to identify and reward high potential innovative entrepreneurs to boost the development of fintech and financial services in South Africa. This really is a big deal. 16 businesses will be invited to pitch for 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. The final eight businesses will complete a customized 12-month program and will benefit from an entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand each. Each. The package consists of 1 million rand in grant funding and 1 million rand worth of support, including mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, marketing, legal, and other business support services. The first round of applications closed on 7th of September 2018, and the program will begin on the 1st of November 2018. More information about this, and this really, like I said, is a big deal for entrepreneurs in this country, and it is an incredible time to be offered something like this because we definitely need it. Go on to cliffcentral.com, cliffcentral.com, and all the information will be there. How about that, hey? Good.
Right. 2 million rand.
Each. It's a lot of money. But again, it's like identifying potential, giving it a chance, and this is how we're going to get through everything in this country.
Yeah. And I mean, like you say, entrepreneurs have a difficult time. Hey?
They really do.
You're doing so many jobs at once. It's not only doing this thing that you think that you've got to, like this service or this job or whatever it is, this product, making the thing that you think is going to do well and that there's potential for. You've also got to find clients, whereas other companies have established clients or have people whose job it is to work on that side of the business.
It's everything.
All the accounting, raising the funds, working for no money because you seldom have enough put aside to pay yourself a salary to work on your company. It's hectic. I started a...
Cool, let's not downsell it too much.
Huh? No, I'm saying these are the disadvantages entrepreneurs face and they get through them anyway. Yeah. So to have people like this backing that kind of stuff and making those real barriers to entry to entrepreneurship easier and more manageable is huge because way more entrepreneurs would succeed with something like that.
Yeah, so big ups to Alpha Code there. So yeah, we must get into the five things you need to know. That was the first thing you need to know. Let's have five extras.
Oh, okay. Got you. The five big stories that you need to know this morning. Well, firstly, the DA is going around and they're trying to save the world in the Western Cape. Well, the Democratic Alliance is visiting communities across the Western Cape, according to them, to learn more about key social issues with its hashtag Let's Talk campaign. The DA provincial leader, Bonginkosi Madikizela, and his team are road tripping around the Western Cape to hear firsthand from residents about issues that are close to their hearts. Among the critical issues that have been raised so far by locals in the likes of Humanus and Mitchell's Plain and Parkwood were affordable housing and inadequate service delivery and residents who are demanding answers just in general. Madikizela says these issues are at the top of his priority list. Residents raise the fact that the service delivery is of utmost importance, he says, and that no matter where the party deals with internally, or what rather, this must come first. As a party provincial leader, I want to reassure our residents that we echo the sentiment and our number one priority is providing better service for the people of this province.
So are you telling me, sir, these people weren't interested at all with the DA spat with Patricia DeLille? Not at all?
No, according to what was raised from these conversations.
That's a shock because that's been the DA's number one agenda.
Yeah, their number one priority for the last year.
And the people don't care about it?
Well, and behold, the party says it will extend its hashtag Let's Talk campaign ahead of what? The 2019 elections.
Is it hashtag Let's Talk or hashtag Let's Talk campaign? Because I find hashtags so irritating because they can't accommodate punctuation. It's like, guys, come on, why couldn't you have programmed it that it can accommodate punctuation and have an apostrophe?
But Gordon, at the same time, once you put a hashtag on, you're kind of symbolizing it's a radio campaign. Yeah. Every hashtag.
Well, that's why, because see, you keep saying they're out there promoting their hashtag Let's Talk campaign, and I'm like, yes, that's a crap hashtag.
It's hashtag Let's Talk space.
Yes, it's campaign. The hashtag. Yes, I got you.
I think we just dropped. I think campaign becomes redundant in this sense.
Yeah, it's hashtag Let's Talk.
Okay, sure. Let's go with that.
That's us talking to DA. We just
there's a restaurant on the with a billboard on the N1 just before 14th Avenue.
I saw that rant of yours,
dude.
Gord.
It's not acceptable to make a spelling or grammar error on your billboard. If you are going to place advertising into the public domain, you have a responsibility to do so literally. It's like
please don't ever drive past there again. You're going to have an accident.
He's going to blow.
You're going to have an accident.
You know how much money it costs and effort it costs to make a billboard? You could have got somebody that can read to just check it for you.
No, they do. But the problem is they just come back from the jaw. They're hungover. And I've worked in an agency before.
I'll still check my...
People make these mistakes because they're lazy. Sure.
I've also worked in an agency. And if you had an agency, as we've done before, you're making a 40-page manual for how the Creepy Crawly, the competitor to Creepy Crawly that we had as a client works, there was a spelling error in a 40-page book. I'm like, that happens. But you're making a billboard. It's got six words on it. And it takes, like, you know, media buying people, repro people, ginormous printing thing, that not like jetline printers, proper hectic printers that can print that thing. Mm. You know, like, every 10 people have got to have had a good look at it before it ends up in the world at the minimum. And you make a spelling error on a thing that's got six words on it. Fuck off.
Oh, jeez.
Callistos.
Second thing you need to know this morning. Okay. Only in Tokyo. A Tokyo medical school yesterday admitted entrance test scores for female applicants were routinely altered to keep women out.
Are you sons of bitches?
Well, now they're apologizing for the discrimination after a probe has revealed all of this. They say in their official statement, "We betrayed the public trust. Yes. We want to sincerely apologize for this. Such alterations should never happen," they add. This is the vice president of the university speaking, pledging next year's entrance exams would be fair without giving further details. Now, Japanese media last week reported that the university had for years been lowering the scores of female applicants in order to keep the ratio of women in the school at 30% or lower. Initial reports suggested the practice dated to 2011, but a probe conducted after the report found the alterations started as early as 2006. So, well, talk about Tokyo really advancing.
Yeah, that's just so dickish. It's unbelievable. They didn't give any reason for wanting a 70-30 split, just that we prefer dudes.
No, it's probably just like, ugh, women.
But it sounds like it wasn't just, ugh, whatever. It sounds like they had a plan. You know, like VW with, like, doctoring the results of the diesel pollution. Yeah. This sounds like it was a plan that involved people sitting down and go, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. It's been going on since 2006.
Well, whoever came up with that great idea has, A, a lot of explaining to do, but B, you need to reassess your
priorities.
Yeah, and your head. Well, as a company as well, third story you need to know this morning, as a country is dealing with the death of Kensani, we now have a new case that has emerged, and students this time at the Nelson Mandela University in Port Elizabeth stayed away from classes this week in solidarity with a student who said she had been raped by her boyfriend over the weekend. Now, the incident was said to have happened in her room at the university, and she later withdrew the charges. We don't know what the withdrawal of the charges mean so far, but in a statement, police spokesperson Colonel Priscilla Naidu said the 21-year-old Nelson Mandela University student opened a case of rape on Saturday morning. Her boyfriend was arrested and detained, and the complainant withdrew the case a few hours later. On Monday, the complainant had a consultation with the prosecutor and the case remains closed. A student who did not want to be named said the withdrawal of the case was a setback to the fight against gender-based violence. But hundreds of students gathered for the whole day at the entrance to the South and North campuses. They sang and held placards with messages that read the likes of, "I will not be a victim and I will stand and fight." It seems like the more we fight against stories like this, the more the likes emerge.
Well, look, it's a murky business, this. I think for some people, they believe, how can you be raped if that's your boyfriend? Because, I mean, this is basic thinking that we eventually have to realize. But no, I mean, like, it's pretty clear. I mean, the definition of rape is becoming clearer and clearer. It's a consent thing. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you're a husband, a boyfriend, if you're not an uncle, but, I mean, you see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
You don't suddenly have a status that makes you exempt to certain behavior.
Exactly. If a person clearly expresses that they don't want you to continue, then you don't. But I think also part of what's coming out, like, and there's a whole side I'm not even going to get into, but just briefly touch on, of that, like, you never know if 100% of these stories are true, and like, even if 1% of them aren't, it's also horrible. There's a negative side to it, but it's really, really positive in the sense that it used to be that a lot of people didn't come forward because you didn't think there was the support network. You didn't think people would believe you. You thought you might create far more trouble for yourself by trying to come forward than potential sort of justice. Whereas now, more and more people are going, you know what, I can say something. Other people have said something. I know there are people who will take me seriously, who will be there for me, who will protect me from potential backlash. And that's like a hugely positive thing that's come out of this last, like, I don't know, 2-3 years, where this kind of shit is not being tolerated, where it's being called out way more than ever before, is that people will more and more feel they can say something where they might have just never spoken about it for the rest of their lives previously.
Look, I just think also in general in life that people should be getting away with less, you know, should not be able to get away with so much.
Yeah.
Whether it be sexual crimes, financial crimes, just ultra thuggery and robbery, that kind of stuff. You know, we've got to clamp down on these people who just think they're above the law with all this stuff.
Last two stories that you need to know. I don't want to harp on about this one particularly, but the former SABC Chief Operating Officer, Tladi Motsoeneng's dismissal case will be heard next week. It's now been decided by the Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, the CCMA. There we go. Don't really want to deal with that. And the final thing that you need to know, you probably have seen this all over social media and the news yesterday, but Chris Hani's murderer, Janusz Walusz, has asked the High Court to review Justice Minister Michael Masuta's decision to deny him parole on the grounds that it was irrational and unreasonable. Masuta rejected the application in November of 2017, claiming that Walusz had not shown real remorse, nor had he been properly rehabilitated. But yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll definitely keep tabs on how that story develops. But those are your five things that you need to know this morning.
Thank you very much, Sia. Very good.
This is the sports music. Have you got different sports music? Is this a
No, this is kind of what's on my Gareth, my Cliff Central folder.
This is quite pimping.
It is.
Yeah, I like
it's quite pimping.
Boom. You're not going to hear me for the next few days, so I'm going to throw in a big sports report here because the weekend is essentially upon us. It is. How awesome. That means the PSL, well, what a big night last night was. Let's start there, rather, before we get too excited about the weekend. So the PSL started this last week, and last night, Sundowns and Chiefs were both in action. Varied results, though. Chiefs at home to Wits. Boom, 3-1 to Wits. Wits have now scored 6 goals in 2 games, and they are 2-2. Polokwane City hosted Sundowns, and Sundowns too strong for them, 2-0. So what does the weekend hold, you say? Well, I can tell you, nothing. Nothing.
Hell of a...
bit of an anticlimax there.
Okay, well, moving along in that case...
No, wait. God, I hate it when these fixtures come out in the most strange like sense. They've got June's games there. Sorry, it's very unprofessional.
Man. Oh, okay.
Today we've got Free State Stars versus Beresford United, Supersport United versus AmaZulu, and then Chippa versus Orlando Pirates, Baroka versus Cape Town City, and then Golden Arrows versus Bloom Celtic. So tonight, you earn that public holiday puzzle tonight. There's all these PSL matches on the go. And then tomorrow, we've got Highlands Park versus Black Leopards. And then we'll just kind of chill for the rest of the weekend, I think. Good call, huh? Yeah? All in favor?
Sounds like a jewel.
The Premier League starts this weekend, which is kind of the biggest deal when you think about it. The Premier League they signed a huge mega TV deal, which kind of suggested that when the world wants to watch club football, they generally migrate toward the Premier League. So first up on Friday, we've got Man United. That's Gord's team.
Indeed, and other people too.
They'll be taking on Leicester at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Saturday, well, here we go. First big run of fixtures. Another great thing about watching the Premier League now is that the sun's still shining, so people are generally in good spirits and that kind of stuff before it gets a little grotty and stuff in the winter, which is like next week.
Yeah.
Newcastle will take on Spurs. Huddersfield Town will take on Chelsea. Fulham will take on Crystal Palace. Watford versus Brighton and Hove Albion. Bournemouth versus Cardiff. Wolverhampton Wanderers will take on Everton. And then Sunday we've got some more big matches for you. Liverpool versus West Ham. Southampton versus Burnley. Arsenal versus Man City. What an opening match that is. Gord, who's going to win the Premier League this year?
Probably City, but possibly Liverpool. Please, God, no.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much, Gord. on to more news from Arsenal, though. It seems that Kroenke is going to buy out his opposition shares. So Stan Kroenke is he's an American billionaire. He's got like bajillions of money. He's got so much money. So he's buying
us. His name is?
Stan Kroenke.
Kroenke.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like Stan Kroenke, like don't stand well, stand wobbly on your, yeah, never mind.
So he has been pissing people off for quite some time now. The Arsenal fans hate him. Just to give an understanding of what the Arsenal fans think of Stan Kroenke.
Kroenke, get the fuck out of our club! Take your fucking son with you!
Hold on. Kroenke didn't pick the team tonight.
No, but hold on. Kroenke is the one that he's got Arsene doing what he's doing. Yeah?
So how can you blame it all on Kroenke?
He doesn't. Because the club has gone downhill since Kroenke has taken over, like every other fucking club that he is involved with. Nobody in America likes him.
Yeah. But he doesn't pick the team, bully.
But he picks the person that fucking and to do the job that he wants to just hit top four.
I was going to say, the entire rant was delivered through a plume of vape smoke. So this,
I love Arsenal fan TV, dude. It's the highlight of my life.
So yeah, Stan Kroenke is going to be the majority. He's going to be Arsenal. I think £1.8 billion is the full total of what Arsenal's worth. And anyway, Kroenke's up for it. He's got all these things, all these ducks in a row. And Bully and the rest outside shouting abuse at each other for Arsenal fan TV. This will not go down well.
Even if you're just like a moderate football fan, if you're any kind of football fan and you don't know about Arsenal fan TV, you have to watch it. It's a fan-based channel. It's on YouTube, but it's also on Facebook. They go after and before the games, and there's a set bunch of people that kind of feature regularly, but they interview fans and they get their opinion. And Arsenal fans, whether they're happy, which is these days not that often, but whether happy or sad, Arsenal fans are funny.
Yeah, they really are. So that's going to be another long season ahead. And they got Man City first up. So obviously they're going to lose that match. Everyone's going to be like, oh, this new coach is shite. Because they got a new coach, obviously. Arsene Wenger's not there for the first time since the Cold War. And it's going to be very interesting to see how these guys react. Because they've got ranting, bitching, and moaning down to such a fine art.
That's funny, though.
That there's essentially a channel. Because that's what it comes down to.
It's very funny.
Arsenal fan TV is just the biggest bitch show on.
They got that one oak. I can't remember his name, and I want to say Stubbs, but it's not. It's something else. And he just goes, "Yeah, blood, fam, blood, oh, blood, fam, blood." It's very funny.
He's a yeah. Gord, quickly running through the top money earners of the Premier League for the season ahead. Number 10, Mo Salah. Alexander Lacazette, number 9. Number 8, Eden Hazard. Number 7, Harry Kane. Sergio Aguero is number 6. Number 5 is Romelu Lukaku. Number 4 is Kevin De Bruyne. He is the Man City guy. Paul Pogba at number 3. Number 2, Mesut Ozil. And number 1, Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
That's not a great reflection on the best players in the league, though.
No, it's not. But I mean, is that just
Sanchez
talking,
is making
that talking only about
$21 million a year?
Only talking about wages.
Essentially what they're getting paid.
Yeah, but not like who's earning the most money in the Forbes list, because guys make money doing other stuff as
they
well.
They do indeed, Gordon, do indeed. But I mean, Sanchez is going into the second year of a 5-year contract, which is over $100 million.
But you always got to bear in mind that when players run down their contracts and either become free agents or get very close to becoming free agents, and clubs have to let them go for way less than if they had 3 years left on their contracts, the risk they take is if they break both their legs 2 weeks before doing that, their career's over and no one's ever going to give them money again. But if they get to the end of their contract and they're free agents, they get all the money from being bought by another club. So while it is, United fans do believe like it's a bit outrageous that Sanchez is our top paid player. But at the same time, you know, a lot of that is factored in the cost of a transfer. We didn't have to spend £50 million on him. So he gets the benefit of a lot of that money.
Yeah, good point.
It's not just like, hey, we think you're the best and you're worth this much more than everybody else.
But anyway, so if you want to know those guys, that's basically how it breaks down.
It is a bit of bollocks, though, I won't lie.
It is a bit of bollocks. Crickets, there's going to be South Africa versus Sri Lanka today. It is the fourth out of 5 ODIs. And South Africa are currently 3-0 up. So the Sri Lankans are looking just to not take another decking. They did so well in the test series. But now there's obviously there's a lot of depth in SA cricket, and this ODI team's looking very good. But it will be without Faf du Plessis, which means Quinton de Kock will be set in the fields, and everyone cringes in anticipation of how that's going to go.
I saw a thing, and I've completely lost interest in cricket, and occasionally I try to watch a game and see if it can rekindle. I was a huge Proteas fan from age 11 when the 92 World Cup happened until like my mid-20s, even my like later 20s. For the last sort of better part of 10 years, I just haven't been able to bring myself to give a shit. But I watched it. I saw a thing, just an image. I didn't even recognize who the player was, but he was getting handed a check after the game, one of those big checks for $1,000 for being the hero of the match. Is hero of the match now a thing and not man of the match? Because it made me cringe in my soul.
Well, man's a bit sexist.
If I mean, not if it's men's cricket or women allowed still, to play in that team.
Why must we keep glorifying men, Gord?
Because it's men's cricket.
No, it's rather a hero.
It could be person. It could even be person of the match. Hero of the match. It's
Gord,
like, that's dumb.
Gord, that song, oh, when a hero comes along. It's not when a man
with
comes along.
With the strength along. Carry on. Exactly. Somewhere.
When a hero holds you true, that's when a hero comes to you. Don't you dare correct me.
Okay, never mind. Sure.
But is that now a thing, hero of the match?
Gord, I couldn't care.
You
no
know about
idea.
Cricket. I'm asking the sports guy because the sports guy knows.
Yeah, well, yeah. Golf. So it is the PGA Championship. It is the 100th playing of the PGA Championship, the fourth and final major of the year, otherwise known as Golf's Last Shot at Glory. Because everyone's got a subtitle or a tagline nowadays. Mm. It's the last time it's going to be played as the fourth major, though, because as of next year, it'll be taken to May. Because it's just seen that it's a conflict of schedules and the places they want to play are too hot or the weather's not so great this time of year. It's going to go to May. So this is the last time it'll be playing in its current carnation. Incarnation. And I think Carnation's a stake place in the West Rand. So, yeah, it's going to be fantastically exciting because obviously all the best golfers are there and there's so many great stories and sub-stories. Of course, if Jordan Spieth wins this, then he wins the Grand Slam of golf, which is one of those very, very difficult things to do. Only a handful of people have ever done it. Of course, Mr. Gary Player was the first international player to do it. And it's hugely skewed towards the Americans doing this because three of the four majors are in America. But Gordon Spieth had a bit of a shite year, so probably not going to happen. But Dustin Johnson looking good, world number one going into the tournament. Justin Thomas is the defending champion, the world number two going into the tournament in great form. Of course, he won last week at the Bridgestone, and if he wins, then it's all about once you get these guys level, like a major win just takes you like another stratosphere. No one's ever going to reach Tiger in the current playing situation. But when these guys suddenly win one or two or three, you get to four, suddenly it's very different. But if Tiger wins, of course, it'll be the biggest story going. Only thing is, Tiger's kind of running out of puff a bit. And we all saw this coming. This is his first full season back for quite some time with this new spine, which I'm still not entirely sure where he got because he suddenly was better. And his swing speed's kind of dropping a little bit. He's fading on the weekends. Last week, he had a 73-73 finish, I think it was. So I wouldn't put your hopes too high on Tiger, but the course is going to be very wet, so look for the long guys to do pretty well. Rory McIlroy, he's bound to come right. He's just too good not to. As simple as that. So if you were betting, I would say Rory McIlroy's got to be on your radar there. Justin Thomas as well, defending champ. He's got form. He knows what he's doing in this form of the game, and I think that's going to be hugely excited about. That'll take place from tomorrow, and there is a nice competition where you can win a nice prize if you go onto my website, thebouncer.co.za. And I think that's all we've got time for in the sport. There was another story about Serena Williams not being, just having some issues about being a mother. And look, like I said before Wimbledon, she's going to realize that being a mother is far more important than playing tennis. And we may not see the best or the rest of Serena. But hey.
Fair point, yo.
We all move on.
Nothing to prove left for lady.
She has nothing to prove for a long time. She is the greatest that the game's seen. So eventually she will probably get to that. I mean, she's withdrawn from the Rogers Cup.
Knowing her, she'll probably do a couple of years of baby raising, disappear for a while, and then just come back and like fist everyone a few times for good measure and then
Gordon.
Disappear.
Ooh, probably just Jesus. A odd selection of
it's
words.
It's a euphemism. But.
Okay.
A euphemism.
She wouldn't really fist them. It's metaphorical.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, I'm sorry you had to hear that, Sia. Are you not ready? Okay, let's get some messages.
I am ready. Okay. Don't you worry. So I think this morning is some great news, but it's also a bit funny. So stoners may get a bad rep for being like lazy and just sluggish all over the place, but there's now a new social media movement which is calling on marijuana users to join a massive international litter cleanup. It all started when one Reddit user posted a photo of themselves holding a bag full of trash that they had collected from their favorite smoking spot back in July. Now, this is what happened. Within 24 hours of that post had been viewed hundreds of thousands of times, and it prompted a serious and rather, in my opinion, powerful question. What if every single person who smoked weed out somewhere decided to just take it upon themselves and just tidy up their outdoor smoking spots? And really, this is what has now happened. So now dozens of users are posting similar photos of themselves with like bags full of rubbish that they had collected from their own smoking spots. So the trend has now given birth to the hashtag, don't we love a hashtag, which is Stoner Cleanup Initiative.
Campaign.
Which
is and they make it a difficult one to spell.
And a long one for the stoners.
And a long one for the stoners, yeah.
So more and more, this is just recruiting participants every single day. Since the movement was created, hundreds of stoners around the world have joined. And in their own words, they're saying they are joining the initiative to keep Mother Earth a little cleaner, all while they get a little greener. This is
That's
so corny.
That's a random thing.
It is
okay.
So corny and bad.
That's
but look,
cool, but it's random.
Yeah, whether you like it or not, even non-stoners are actually appreciating and applauding this movement. One person on Twitter says, regardless of whether you agree with smoking weed, I think this is a really nice idea. So look at that. Smokers are out there in little spots around the world saying, well, while I'm out here enjoying whatever I'm smoking, I'm going to clean it up. And it's helping. It's making its impact. So if you want a little laugh and some appreciation this morning, look up the hashtag Stoner, Stoner Cleanup Initiative. And you see these guys cleaning up and with bags and bags of rubbish.
And if you get it, if you don't get any results, try and misspell it four or five different ways and see if you...
Yeah. Always and always put a Z where an S is normally meant to be.
Yeah, where an S deserves to be, yeah.
That's your unconventional Z by Sia for this morning.
All right, some financial information for you, some financial advice, some financial wisdom. Smart Money is a series of financial tips for different life stages. Maya Fisher French speaks to various experts as they help us find answers to pressing financial questions. So, financial wellness, saving for retirement, making sure you have the correct healthcare, navigating the gig economy, saving for a millennial perspective, how getting married affects you financially, affects you financially, and more. Smart Money is brought to you by Discovery, getting your money right for your life. The show plays out every Wednesday, starting today, here on Cliff Central, at 9 a.m. And all 12 episodes of the podcast are available on cliffcentral.com or the Cliff Central app, whichever way you like to get your podcast.
Yep.
See, we're arming you for everything you need in this world. Smart Money, that's the next step. A couple of messages before we get into the second hour. Kelly, I've just seen your message now. Kelly's very upset that you didn't mention the rape prevention tips here. Kelly, I think we're going to come back. We'll go through those at the start of the second hour. Because she's gone to great effort here to give us all these tips on the back of our story, of course, about the NMU controversy. Norma says, morning team, I love the conversation you had about entrepreneurship. I'm a virtual assistant and my aim is to elevate the admin stress from SMEs. Unfortunately, most of them are so cash strapped that they would rather lose sleep than part of a couple of hundred rand to pay me. That's a bit distressing. Mm-hmm. It's very tough out there and going back to full-time employment is the worst. Yeah, Norma, entrepreneurs need to be inspired, but also need to be supported. And I think there's a slew of tax problems in this country and admin kind of problems that entrepreneurs have to go through. I always have the same kind of headaches. You know, you're paying people for admin crap all the time and you've got to fight with clients. So yeah, it is something we should all look at and try to get involved in. Gord, Hero sponsors the cricket series. So I believe it's a pun.
Okay, that was the enlightenment I needed. Thank you, Clint. Now it makes sense. Because I thought it'd become like a standard in the game, which would have been dumb. But if Hero sponsor the cricket, then good for them. That makes sense.
That's the first hour. We'll catch you back next hour. And Vonderboom are here as well.
Hell yes.
How exciting is that? It's so funny, see ya. CliffCentral.com.